Many preachers start with, "Good morning, church." And we are the church here together. I just want to check to see. No, Ryan doesn't have me on the clock. Thank you. As has been mentioned a few times already this morning, I'd like to talk about light. It's something that perhaps God needs to talk to me about, first of all. And we have the verses up there that were read this morning, and such a beautiful description of God, His love, His faithfulness, in very visual language. The skies, the clouds, the mountains, the sea, beautiful. And one of the reasons it has meant so much to me is that it was, there's a song that uses these lyrics back from the early days of Jesus music, which is my era. And I realized recently that I paid more attention to the first three verses and not the last one, where it says, "Within you is the spring of life, in your light we see light." And I was intrigued by the way the psalmist put that. And I understand you grappled with light several weeks ago. I wasn't here, but maybe we can expand a little bit on that. This is, in my weekly psalm schedule, this is one of the psalms that I read every week, and I haven't gotten tired of it yet. And it's a very common theme throughout the scriptures, from the very first chapter of Genesis and the last chapter of the book of the Revelation. We see light, instances of light, images of light. And we all know what light is, but how do we define it? Without using the word light, we could say it's a brightness, it's a radiance. It could be to illuminate, and it's something that makes things visible to us. So light, I'm a teacher, so here we go. It's an English teacher. It can be a noun, a verb, or an adjective. Light. And we can't talk about light, we can hardly talk about light without mentioning darkness as well. And I was intrigued by a recent discussion that touched on this in kind of a roundabout way. We're talking about the presence of evil in the world, and how do you explain it? If God is the creator of everything, why is there evil? Does that mean He created evil? Well, there's one person who used several examples, including light, but he said, like, cold. Is there a way we can measure cold? I don't know. I hadn't thought about it, but he said, no, we actually measure the absence of heat, or how little or how much heat there is. And he said it's the same with light. We can't measure darkness, but we can measure how little light there is or how much there is. We don't have a measurement for darkness. I think that's correct. And then this person took it to the subject of sin. Did God create sin? God created a good world. He created it without sin. But in the places where God is not present, we will see sin. It's like darkness, and that's a very biblical analogy. And there are places, there are people, there are institutions, there are countries. there are places where God is not welcome, certainly the God of the Bible. I'd like to look at a few places in Scripture where light appears, and they're familiar ones to you, and I'm sure there are a lot more than we're going to touch on, but we also want to look at what it means for you and I today. And let's go to Genesis 1, when God began to create the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless. Other translations say void, others say chaos, and there was darkness over the deep sea, but God's Spirit was present. And then we have God's first recorded words in the Scripture. Someone please help me. Let there be light. Very good. Let there be light. And so there was light. So God speaks light into existence, displacing darkness. Does that mean anything for me here and now, today, in my life? Do I ever face darkness? Is God still the creator who can speak light into existence? We had a situation a few years ago with a neighbor that was very difficult, and it was a dark situation, and we were kind of at a loss as to how approach it. And just recently I thought, could I have asked God to bring light into that situation? We actually have authority as God's children. Could I have just proclaimed light? I don't know. There's not a magic formula, but I think all of us can think of places where we would like to see God bring His light. Think about that. Maybe I'm still exploring that, how I can perhaps use that in my own prayer life, in my own situations. In the New Testament, Paul is describing God. God is the blessed and only Master, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He alone has immortality and lives in light. That's why he can pronounce light, so that no one can come near. It's unapproachable light in another translation. Honor and eternal dominion belong to him. And in 1 John, John refers back to the beginning and what they heard from Jesus. And this was Jesus' message. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. In another place in the Old Testament, we read about a man who faced a lot of darkness. I think it's safe to describe it as that in the book of Job. Job lost his family, he lost his workers, he lost his wealth, he lost his health, he lost his status. And in the book of Job, he says this, "Oh, that life was like it used to be. Like days when God watched over me and his lamp shone on my head. I walked by his light in the dark." I'm sure it was a time of emotional and spiritual darkness for Job. And we read that in the New Testament, walking in the light, living in the light. Let's go to slide 2. Here's one of the options when we're in darkness. These are kind of sobering verses to me. Who among you fears the Lord? Who listens to the voice of his servant who walks in darkness and has no light? They will trust in the Lord's name and rely upon their God. I think the servant would be the coming Messiah or Jesus. All of you are kindling fire, igniting torches. Walk by the light of your fire, by the torches you have ignited. This is what will happen to you by my hand. you will lie down in grief. I think we're probably all tempted to light our own torches, to find our own solutions without checking what God wants to do in my time of darkness. Moses and light. He could tell a lot of light stories. At the burning bush, was that during the daytime or night? I don't know, but it caught his attention. I had to think of these instances during Bible times when there was no artificial light. So I think light or fire really was made more of an impact than it would today. In Exodus, it says, a cloud covered the mountain, and Moses went up and entered that cloud. He was receiving the law. The Lord's glorious presence looked like a blazing fire on top of the mountain. Later, he went up to the mountain again and spent 40 days there. And when he came down, his face was shining, and the people were afraid of him. So he called the leaders and he spoke to them. He called the rest of the people and spoke to them. After he was done, he covered his face. But it happened again and again. It reminded me of a situation when we lived in southeastern Turkey, and we lived in a very conservative city and a very religious city. A young man from the U.S. came over to spend a year there with us, and he was looking for a place to live, and so he ended up renting a room in one of the poorer neighborhoods, and we weren't sure if that was a good idea or not, because sometimes, it could be even more difficult to live in a place like that. But this young man, JP, he went to work in the room that he had rented. He cleaned it up. He painted it. He was just cheerful and friendly to everyone he met. And soon the neighbors were saying to his landlord, can you find me a renter like that? Another thing they said about him, there's a Nur about him. And Nur is a Turkish Arabic word for light. But it's not just a regular light. It's like a holy light. There's a holy light about that young man. I should have asked him about his devotional practices because, you know, I think that's a beautiful testimony of a very young man who was walking with God, and his life, his expression, his everything about him communicated that light. Another story from the same city. I often took groups of visitors into the market. We had a beautiful old market with passageways and courtyards, and it was beautiful. And there was one merchant there who was known as the imam of the market, a very devout and religious man who, several times I think he asked me, as the group had passed, I said hello to Emin. And he said, is this group Christian? And I said, yes. I said, why do you ask? He said, I can see it on their faces. Again, visitors from very far away, but something about them and their presence communicated light. In the New Testament, related to the incarnation, God coming in the flesh, light, the star that guided these, what we call the wise men, the light over the shepherds, more light. After the birth, they took Jesus to the temple, and this old, probably priest, I don't know, he was serving in the temple, he'd been there a long time, and when he saw this child, he said, now I can go. I've seen the salvation that you've prepared for us. And this is a quote, it's a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people, Israel. In other words, this light, this salvation was for everyone. not just for one group. In the book of John, we see light over and over and over again, more than 20 times. But in that book, we three times we have quotes from Jesus, "I am the light of the world." And then, of course, in John's letter, too, we have about that verse we read earlier. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. If we claim we have fellowship with him and live in the darkness, we are lying and do not act truthfully. But if we live in the light in the same way that he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. So what does it mean to live in the light, walk in the light? It will change our relationships. It will deepen our relationships. We have nothing to hide. We have no hidden agenda. It means that the things that dishonor God that are lodged in my life, walking in the light helps to wash those away. We're kind of mixing metaphors there, but cleansing comes with that. Recently, we heard a series of messages on another metaphor for what it's like to walk with Christ, and it's about putting on the armor of God. And that's not all that different from walking in the light, I don't think. But one speaker said something that stays with me. Instead of concentrating on the various pieces of armor, we should remember that every piece of the armor, the truth, the righteousness, those things are all found in Jesus Christ. So if we put on Jesus, and that's the language that Paul uses, one translation says, dress yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking in the light, living in the light, isn't it just doing what I do with the remembrance that God is present? Sounds simple, but it's not easy. We don't always have the clarity we want. And many of you have heard this. Mother Teresa said she's walked in darkness for many, many years. She didn't have that intimacy that she once had, but she kept on walking in trust, in faith. Slide number three, there's a poem by a writer that I appreciate, Wendell Berry. "We travelers walking to the sun can't see ahead, but looking back, the very light that blinded us shows us the way we came, along which blessings now appear, risen as if from sightlessness to sight. And we, by blessing brightly lit, keep going toward the blessed light that yet to us is dark." And that's what faith or trust is even when not everything is clear. But sometimes looking back is a good idea. Not all the time, but we can see God's faithfulness, which precedes us, which has followed us. Just a short paragraph that I read this morning from a devotional book. "The God of the Bible is both omnipresent, steadily everywhere, and occasional, special and uncommon manifestations of his glory. Our union with God allows for both a constant abiding in him and periodic intimacies that are rapturous to the soul. God's steady, calming presence and his bursts of glory complement and heighten each other." And that's the reality of walking with God. I'd like to wrap it up with several of the benefits of walking in the light. Review them. slide four. And it, the light, walking in the light is a part of our testimony. Maybe it's the strongest part of our testimony. And I'm going to just read the scripture as Eugene Peterson paraphrased it from Matthew 5. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm going to put you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Walking in the light is a clear testimony. And the verses from 1 John tell us that it also will provide us with fellowship. And again, as Eugene Peterson paraphrased it, anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in the dark. It's the person who loves brother and sister, who dwells in God's light and doesn't block the light from others. And goes on to repeat that about hating and darkness. If we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another. That was slide five, right? Please go to five and slide six. Walking in the light leads to all kinds of blessings in our lives. Psalm 89, how happy are the people who know the joyful shout. Lord, they walk in the light from your face. And it reminds me of that blessing that God told Aaron to use about, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. For the way of those who do right is like the early morning sun that shines brighter and brighter till noon. Proverbs 4. Slide number 7. Within you is the spring of life. In your light we see light. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you are light, and there's no darkness whatsoever. Help us. We want to walk in the light. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Lloyd, for sharing this morning. I should have introduced you a little better. I think most people here know who you are, but Lloyd is my uncle, and he and my Aunt Joyce live in this neighborhood, and so they are friends of the gathering and have often been here, and I was not disappointed to have some poetry mixed in with the service, as Lloyd has been a person who has often brought different perspectives to our family from poetry and scripture. And anyways, thank you for sharing different reflections about light and living in the light. And we're going to close with the song version of the scripture that was read today. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. You're welcome to stand if you'd like to.
Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. We take refuge in the shadow of your wings. We feast on the abundance of your house, and you give us drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Amen.